are the people in your neighborhood, the people that you meet each day.
And the Tuesday edition of People in Your Neighborhood brought to you by the folks at VistaCare. And joining me this morning from the South Dakota Discovery Center, it's Bree. Good morning, Bree.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Always nice to have you along. And we've got some fun things to talk about this morning. And this is one for us Skywatchers. My wife and I are really excited for this. I was even talking to my mom back in New York, and she's looking forward to this conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which is being called the Christmas star. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yes. So if you, think back to learning about the solar system, all of the planets are orbiting the sun, and obviously each planet is a different size, is moving at a different rate of speed. So if you think about, like, if you were standing in the middle of a field with a track around it, watching runners on a track and they're running in that circle, you're going to see them moving at different paces based on how fast they run. And from your point of perspective, if somebody laps another runner, it's going to look like they're, at some point they have to pass that runner, and then maybe they pass behind their body and you don't necessarily see them and it appears to be one person, right? So
right.
If you think about from our perspective on Earth, as the planets are orbiting in space along with us, they're moving at a different rate than we are. And so depending on where they are in their orbit around the sun and time of year and tilt of the Earth and where you are on the planet, all those things, you're going to see those planets in different positions on the night sky. And so in this case, what it appears to be is that Saturn and Jupiter are actually coming together, and it'll when they do that conjunction, then it's a much, it looks like a very, very bright star in the sky, because it's those two planets super, super close to each other in terms of the perspective from Earth. And this only happens every few years. The last time it actually happened was in 2000 in May, but we couldn't see it because there was too much glare from the sun in terms of the when it was happening and when the sun sets.
Okay.
But what scientists think is that, they can kind of, based on all of that math and thinking about the speed of the planet and its distance around the sun and so on, they can obviously calculate backwards and figure out how often this happens. And in the case of us being able to see it, it would usually be about every 800 years or so. And so they think that this happened around 7 BC, which would, and then actually there's a lot of debate about this, but there's one of the theories is that the star, the Bethlehem star, the Christmas star that's referred to, is the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, and possibly also a part of a constellation. And one of the theories is that it's the constellation Pisces. And so that would actually put the birth of Jesus more in like September, which a lot of other pieces of information kind of point to that anyway, in terms of thinking about when he was probably actually born.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's just really interesting. And so next week is when the planets come closest together. So the 21st is the date when they should be at their closest, which is also the winter solstice. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the best possible way to view is to look into the southwest sky about an hour after the sun has set.
Very cool. Yeah, this is going to be a fun event, and it is a very rare one. So I would really encourage people just to take the time to go and check it out. And, I mean, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us in most cases.
Yeah, it is. And, hopefully we have good, clear skies to be able to see it. And even this week, you can see them getting closer and closer together. So,
right.
I think even Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you'd probably have a good viewing. And even after the 21st, except that they might end up being too far down on the horizon to get a good vantage point.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's a pretty exciting. And I was reading about it in terms of when it's happened in the past, and there were, there's, it's kind of marked with all this like it's an auspicious occasion and an inspiration for like art and music and all these other kinds of things. You know, it's a big deal. So it's kind of fun. And I have this, I've been reading this book called The Physics of Christmas. And there's a whole chapter dedicated to the Bethlehem Star and talking about all the different theories about what possibly they were seeing in the night sky because it appeared to stop. And so obviously if it was just a star, it would be constantly moving. So right. the things that would appear to stop in terms of our perspective would be a comet with a, you know, a trajectory that makes it look like it's moving away from us kind of thing or towards us and it looks like it stopped, or the a planet. So anyway, it's just really, and so then it's, the trick is figuring out dates and when things would have been happening based on their time and all of that. So the book's been kind of a fun read.
Yeah, it sounds like
a nerdy person like myself.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, I'm right there with you. That sounds really, really cool. And speaking of cool, you've got something really fun coming up.
Yeah, so we started a project. Christine and I have started this project working with students at Georgia Morris Middle School, where we try to come up with activities that involve a little bit of playing with video games and then some hands-on inquiry. And so we had our first round was one where they play a game related to bridge building, and they have to think about the structural design of a bridge and which types of structures make bridges strongest. And then they build a model of a truss with rolled up newspaper, and then we kind of test them by trying to sit on them. And we're actually doing that again next week at Georgia Morris. And then we found another one where it was a game on protein folding, and had a activity where they've, you know, found these amino acids on an asteroid, and they're trying to identify what it is. And that one was fun, but it ended up being pretty challenging for the students. And so we're kind of going back to the drawing board, which is also kind of part of the, you know, the process of this is we're trying something new. So this next one we're going to do is, I don't know if you've played Among Us. Have you played Among Us yet?
I have not.
It is actually really fun. So Among Us is a game you can play on your phone or your computer where basically you're on a spaceship with a bunch of other people, and your avatar, they kind of look like little minions from Despicable Me. And you have tasks you have to complete to keep the ship functioning and everybody alive. But somebody on the ship is a murderer, and they are sabotaging everything, and they're killing people. And as people die, you have meetings, and you're trying to figure out who it is, and then you vote them off the ship. And they're ejected out into space. And so it's kind of like playing Clue or like one of those murder mystery games. And so it's actually been really fun to play. And so Christine and I have come up, we just got this kit in the mail of all of these activities you do as if you were on a lunar station, like managing the oxygen supply and dealing with electrical circuits and instruments being disrupted by seismic activity, all these things. And so in a classroom, you'd have these stations set up where students would move around and they'd have to complete all these tasks within a certain amount of time to win the game. And so we are going to use that as a way to do a real life Among Us type activity. We're calling it the Moon Murder Mystery, and the students will have cards given to them with their tasks and their roles, and so there'll be a secret imposter in the group, and they will, you know, at some point we might turn the lights off. If they tap you on the shoulder, you're dead, and then the students have to figure out who the person is, and so it'll be a lot of fun. And I have one of the tasks with me. There's this really cool contraption that creates a complete circuit. And it makes a noise, which is why I picked it to be on the radio. But it also has a box with a bunch of LED lights that light up. So I'm going to actually play with it right now and put my phone back.
All right. We'll see if it works out.
So there's two metal leads, and if I hold them in my hand, I create my body is conductive because it's made up of a whole lot of water. And then you can put these two metal leads up against different objects, kind of like what we did on the radio a few months ago. And you can see whether, so the students will be given some objects and they basically have to complete the circuit as a way to solve that task. Anyway, we're really excited about it. When we opened the box, it was kind of like Christmas came early for us. We didn't know what it was, and we opened it. We're like, oh, we totally know what to do with this. And then we're talking about maybe trying to figure out a way to do this with grown-ups, where you could, you know, book a murder mystery party complete with, you know, you show up in alien costumes or something, and you get to play this game also. So
that's
like a fundraiser activity.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, if people want to, you know, find out for their kids, for themselves, events that are going on, because you still have some things going on at the Discovery Center, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that is to check our website, which is sd-discovery.org, or check our Facebook page and or give us a call at 224-8295. We are working on planning some events related to some we just kind of joined a partnership of a release of a bunch of really cool kind of documentaries you might see in like an IMAX theater that families can rent online for like 99 cents.
Oh wow.
And so we're working on developing some events that would kind of correspond with those videos, like learning about the Arctic and different topics where, you know, people might choose to watch the documentary at home, and then we'll have some virtual experiences, maybe even like being able to talk to a scientist and stuff like that. So, and then we're also planning some events again for the early release days and Aviation Day is coming up traditionally in January. There's an Engineering Day coming up in February. And the other big thing to kind of keep on your calendars is the Peer Players are planning a production of Radium Girls at the end of April. And we're planning a big kind of two-week nuclear science type event that will coincide with the production of the play.
Oh, very fun.
So, yeah, we're trying to be really, it's been, you know, the disruption of the pandemic has really kind of allowed us to be really creative and think in different ways about how we reach out to people and provide programs.
Yeah, you have done a fantastic job with that there, Bree. So hats off to you guys. Some fun stuff coming up. I know you're going to enjoy checking out the Christmas Star and this fun event for the kids.
Yes.
All right. Well, you have a great day and look forward to talking to you again soon, Bree.
All right, I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There's Bree from the South Dakota Discovery Center. Lots of great things going on. Check them out online and be part of all the great things that they've got going on there at the South Dakota Discovery Center.